Judy.
He's not on yet.
Okay. Are you feeling better?
I don't feel bad. I just have symptoms.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Sameach to everyone.
Sameach.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoa. Anna Bekoa. Gedula Chimincha. Tati. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbenu Baharenu Nora. Two fresh irons in Tetnun. Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Yevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sikatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel Chasim Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adata Ket Kufet Ket Nunayan Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Pei Zayan Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tadiyuta. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rahum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emet Notzer Chesed L'alafim Nosea Won Wafesha V'chata'a V'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty using the tool from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. We'll start with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte B'Tchilu Urchimu Tchilu Tchilu Urchimu V'yachta L'shem Yudhe B'vavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Hu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tartane Nandukucha Parihu Koma Diavid Leela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Bikshot Vile Lachmila Bialma Divaye Barnash Ladach Yale Yamineya Ulanaga Beyakalana Tehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikolaid Sterish Bialma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There is one verse that we study from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. It's from 2 Samuel. Chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom liamili Yisrael untati vishakan tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosipu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta hezayo alada la awahe heya. Yozalame behe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wawa pehe la nulacha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he reyo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he ka wa to me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo sa wa wa la yo la he sa a la re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he me wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re. Wa me be yo he a he. A o nu wa me he yo. Ta me be yo me nu ko a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. The 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim using the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta me la he te a yo. Nu ko me a yo re la. He be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he ala wa me zayo. Tahe be me kako ala a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me me me. The Tzaddikim who chose today to leave the 11th day of Nisan, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Lipschitz, Rabbi Bezalel HaKohen of Vilna. It is the birth date of the 7th Chabad Rebbe, which is commonly called the Rebbe, Rabbi Schneerson, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, known as the Ramban, and Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz. We'll now connect to the Ani meditation utilizing this tool to assist us in maintaining and connecting to the energy of balance, the middle central column. Malchut, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey. Yesod, you ahuni wu yohu, you ahuni wu yohu, you ahuni wu yohu. Hod, you ahuni wu yohu, you ahuni wu yohu, you ahuni wu yohu. Netzach, ye ahini wu yohi, ye ahini wu yohi, ye ahini wu yohi. Tiferet, yo ahoni wo yoho, yo ahoni wo yoho, yo ahoni wo yoho. Gevura, yeah, ni we yo, yeah, ni we yo, yeah, ni we yo. Chesed, yeah, heni we yo he, yeah, heni we yo he. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Bina? Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Achma. Yeah, anyway, yo, ha. Yeah, anyway, yo, ha. Yeah, anyway, yo, ha. Getter. Ya ahani wa yo ha. Ya ahani wa yo ha. Ya ahani wa yo ha. We will now say the first two lines of the Shema Yisrael. And since we're saying the Baruch Shem as the second line, we will then need to do an additional L'shem Yehud before we do the Eser Dibrot. Please cover your eyes and lean slightly to the left. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabari Su Ishtim Tevid Hilu Urshimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urshimu L'hakta L'shem Yudei Bavate B'yichud Ashilim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asot Torah Mitzvah, Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Hu. The Eser Dibrot. Vaydaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha-ele le-mor. Anochi Hashem Elohecha asher hotzeiticha. Me'eretz Mitzrayim mi-beit avadim. Lo yihyeh lecha Elohim le-acherim. Al panai lo taser lecha. Esel v'kol temuna asher b'shamayim. Mima'al v'asher ba'aretz mitachat. V'asher b'mayim mitachat la'aretz. Lo tishtachave lachem. V'lo ta'avdem ki anochi Hashem Elohecha. Elkana poked awon avot al banim al shileishim. V'al ribeim l'shonai v'yoseh esed la'alafim la'ohavai. U'shomrei mitzvotai lo tisa et shem Hashem Elohecha. Lashav ki lo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisa et shemo shlashav zachor et yom ha-shabbat v'kadsho sheshet yamim tavod v'asita kom melachtecha yom ha-shvi'i. Shabbat Lashem Elohecha. Lo taseh kol melacha, ata uvincha, uvitecha, avdecha v'yamatcha, uvhemtecha, v'gercha, asher bisharecha. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. V'et ha-yam v'et kol asher bam v'anach v'yom ha-shvi'i. Al kein berach Hashem et yom ha-shabbat v'yikadshehu. Kabed et avicha v'et imecha l'man yarikun. Yamecha al ha'adama asher Hashem Elohecha noten lach lo tirtzach lo tinach lo tignov lo ta'ameh re'acha. Et shaker, lo tachmod beit re'echa, lo tachmod eshet re'echa. V'yavdo v'yamato v'shoro v'chamoro, v'kol asher l're'echa. Now for the abridged Kaddish, which we will use as an elevator to rise to the level of our class tonight. Yid gadol v'yid kadosh shemei rabba, and we all say amen. V'alma divra kirute v'yam lich malchute v'chayecho n'liyom becho n'v'chaye dikol beit Yisrael. V'agalal v'zman kariv Yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitba'ar v'yitromam v'yitnaseh v'yitadar v'yitaleh v'yitalal shimei l'kudsha v'eilamin kol birkata v'shirata tushpechata v'nechemata ta'amiran b'alma yehei shlama rabba min shamaya. V'chaim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. se shalom bim romav, hu yase shalom aleinu, v'yal ko Yisrael, v'imru amen. Our class tonight is the writings of the Ari. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In row 14, the second column from the left, that link opens to a landing page with the writings of the Ari. Scroll down to the writings of the Ari on the holiday of Pesach. And the first link under that is for the Bar Mitzvah and the search for Chametz. And that is definitely going to be an interesting class, even though it's quite basic and it required almost no comments by me. I hope you enjoy it. The intentions the parents have when conceiving a child determine the nature of the child's spiritual garment. On the eve of the 14th, we search for chametz, leavened bread, by the light of a candle. This quote from the Mishnah refers to the search for chametz conducted on the eve of the 14th of Nisan. We will do that Thursday night. It is interpreted allegorically to refer to the day before a boy's 14th year begins, the day before his 13th birthday, when he becomes bar mitzvah. For on the first day of the boy's 14th year, his good inclination enters his body fully. In the merit of the Torah he learned in his youth, which is called light, as in the verse, and the Torah is light. And in the merit of the mitzvot he was trained to perform as part of his education, which are called a candle, as in the same verse, for the mitzvot is a candle. The divine soul and the good inclination enter the individual's consciousness gradually. The divine soul and the good inclination enter the individual's consciousness gradually as the parents educate their child in its youth to accept the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. To fulfill Hashem's mitzvot, study his Torah, and adopt the values of the Torah. Ideally, by the time a child has reached the age of maturity, he or she has been fully inculcated into the Torah's lifestyle and is ready to accept his or her obligations. The divine soul and the good inclination can then fully manifest themselves in his or her active consciousness. In the merit of both of these, we search for chametz, which is the evil inclination, and expel it, and subdue it, and his divine soul and his good inclination enter his body fully. Now, every person possesses spiritual leaven. In Hebrew, it's the word seor, which comes from the seminal drop of his father. This is alluded to by the verse, "Behold, I was conceived in sin," in which King David meant to say, "My father Jesse had only his own pleasure in mind when he conceived me." Leaven, the agent that causes dough to rise, is a metaphor for the evil inclination, the source of ego, and the haughtiness in a person. And I guess I will make an unwritten comment right here. This information about King David and his father Jesse. This information about the evil inclination comes from the father. And it makes perfect sense because in historical past, when the father was the working, the breadwinner, the family would speak about him. And as little children, there's these arguments with little children. My father is stronger than your father, and my father has a better job, and whatever else children argue about their fathers, it's expressing the idea of the evil inclination. Because each person has their own path to follow. So what you receive from your father is this ego, this being proud of your lineage. This is all from the evil inclination, because no one child of Israel is more important than any other. In fact, if there is a child of Israel missing, one baby of the 3 million people that represents the children of Israel from the time of the desert, the time of the Exodus, there's one baby missing. Mashiach cannot come because there's something missing in the nation of the children of Israel. I'm now going to continue to reach. Intentions that the parents have when conceiving a child determine the nature of the child's spiritual garment. You cannot hear that enough. You cannot recognize it enough. It is so paramount to the teachings of reincarnation. And it's almost never mentioned. Because what does it mean, the child's spiritual garment? It's the personality. It's the tikkun that the soul must achieve. The spiritual garment is such a powerful thought. I'm continuing. Although Judaism does not believe in original sin, we are taught that the intentions the parents have when conceiving a child determine the nature of the child's spiritual garment, through which he or she experiences life. The more selfish the parents' intentions, the more spiritual work the child must do in order to refine his or her spiritual perceptions. It's such a powerful paragraph. Since King David aspired to the highest levels of divine consciousness, he regarded even the slight amount of selfish orientation that his righteous father presumably entertained while conceiving him as an obstacle in his spiritual development that he had to overcome. Chametz, in contrast, comes from the mother's seed and is therefore called Machmetzet, the fermenting agent. And this is in the feminine. It's a feminine word. The Torah commands us to remove all the leaven and all the fermenting agent from our possession before Passover. Rashi understands these two terms to be synonymous. Leaven is also referred to as fermenting agent in order to indicate that even though it is inedible, it is still prohibited to possess it. just as it is prohibited to possess chametz. We eat matzah in order to expel the chametz for 7 days. All this is expelled, and we eat matzah, which signifies the good inclination. We eat matzah in order to expel the chametz for 7 days, corresponding to the 7 years that are left before the person turns 20. At that age, he is judged by the heavenly court. For certain sins, a person can be tried and punished by an earthly, a rabbinic court. For such sins, a person becomes liable for punishment at the age of maturity. The 13th year for a girl, which is 12 years and one day, or the 14th year for a boy, which is the age of 13. For other sins, a person cannot be tried and punished by an earthly court, but only by the heavenly court. For such sins, he or she becomes liable for punishment only at the age of 20. For during these 7 years, a person must be extremely on guard against his evil inclination, inasmuch as he had become used to being ruled by it until he was 13 years old and one day. He is therefore, during these 7 years, like a sick person who is being healed of his infirmity, who during the first few days has to eat only light foods that will not harm him. We are therefore commanded to eat only the matzah for the 7 days of Passover. I don't know if you've ever heard me say, but in many of my sessions with my students, when they're discussing problems with their teenage children, my comment is, teenagers are not human beings. And this paragraph describes it. Now, of course, they are human beings, but they're just, you know, they're in this conflict between wanting to be independent and needing to be nurtured by their home and parents. Mm-hmm. And that conflict, they don't know how to reconcile. And that's what the Ari just described in this paragraph. Continuing to read. This is what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai responded to his son, Rabbi Elazar, who asked him if chametz embodies the evil inclination and matzah the good inclination, why we are not prohibited from eating chametz the whole year. And we all know that's an excellent question. The response was that in the days of Passover, we were like sick people who came out of Egypt, and therefore had to eat only matzah. And afterwards, when we were healed and healthy, eating chametz would not harm us. So too, the young man must be very watchful against the evil inclination until he reaches the age of 20. That is the end of this article. It's not the end of our class. We have time to read the second part of the writings of that is prepared for this Pesach. It's titled The Exodus from Immaturity. Kabbalah explains how each person's personal development is a kind of exodus. It is known that the 12 signs of the zodiac subdivide into four categories, corresponding to the four elements. Three signs are associated with each element. According to Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, known as the Ramak, these correspondences are as follows. The month of Nisan is connected to the sign of Aries and is a fire element. The month of Iyar is connected to the Taurus, the bull, and is the sign of the earth. The month of Sivan is connected to the sign of Gemini, the twins. And this is an air sign. Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, is the sign of Sartan, which is named Cancer, but is actually the crab, and it's a water sign. The month of Av is the sign of Aryeh, Leo, the lion, and is a fire sign. The month of Elul, the month of Betulah, is a Virgo, the virgin, and is an earth sign. Tishrei, the month of Tishrei, is the Libra, the most naim, the scales, and is an air sign. The month of Cheshvan is the sign of Akrav, which is a Scorpio, which is water. The month of Kislev is the sign of the arrow or the bow. It's called Sagittarius in the Greek, and is a fire sign. The sign of Tevet is a Capricorn, which is Gedi, the goat, and is an earth sign. The month of Shabbat is Aquarius. Aquarius is Dali in Hebrew, and it stands for the water bucket or the person carrying the water bucket, and is an air sign. And the final month of the year, the month of Adar, is a Pisces, which are the fishes, and it's a water sign. The sign of Aries is associated with the element of fire, and the Scorpio is associated with the element of water. For a scorpion only kills someone if he is extremely cold. What actually is being discussed by the Ari in that sentence is that the scorpion, the energy of the scorpion, is based on fear. And when it goes into a crisis, which is always fear related, the scorpion essentially is out of its mind and will actually kill its own children. And this is what the Ari is telling us. The scorpion, when it goes into crisis, when it gets cool, there's no more passion to it, but the passion is so cold that it loses control. Each of the seven. Was there a question or just an amazement with the process? Each of the seven planets is associated with two signs, except for the sun and the moon, which are associated with only one each. In Talmudic astronomy, the seven planets are the sun, the Mercury, Venus, the moon, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. 5 times 2 months is 10, plus 2 signs, 1 month each, totals 12. Now, there are different sages who describe these relationships differently. And we know also in our generation, we have 13 signs, and we have some additional planets, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, representing the Keter, Chachma, and Bina. And I will just go a little bit into that discussion, because people will say, but there were only 7 planets in the biblical astrology, astronomy. And the answer is yes. There were only 7 planets that were impacting the people in those generations. But as the 3 outer planets were revealed, it was an indication, the physical effect, that the people are starting to grow into a different frame of astrology. And the higher spiritual people are affected by those 3 outer planets. The sages knew this. They made calculations with this for certain holidays and certain astronomical impacts. But it wasn't truly applying to people. That energy was channeled through the other 7 planets. And that knowledge was known to the sages. It just wasn't implemented because it didn't apply to the people. But in our generation, it does apply, but not to every person. It applies to the children of Israel's souls. And that is the primary difference between Hebrew astrology in our generation and Western astrology and Vedic astrology and Chinese astrology is in a different frame altogether. Continuing to read. The 2 signs of Aries and Scorpio rule over Mars. This is why they slaughtered the Passover sacrifice on the 14th of Nisan, when the sign of Aries was in its strength. Aries is a lamb, Talay, and the Passover sacrifice, the Paschal lamb, was exactly that, a lamb that the children of Israel took control of on the 10th of Aries, controlled it for 4 days, and slaughtered it on the 14th. And there was a miracle, because no Jew was attacked by an Egyptian, even though the Jew was telling the Egyptian, I'm going to slaughter your god. Because to the Egyptians, the lamb was a god. Continuing to read. They slaughtered the lamb in order to weaken the power of the celestial lamb, the Aries. And without getting into a lot of detail, there's a 2,000-year cycle that came to a culmination at the time of the Exodus. And that 2,000-year cycle was moving from up the period where the Aries was the controller of that 2,000-year period. And then for the last 2,000 years, the fishes, the Pisces, were the controller for that, this last 2,000-year period. And we talk about coming into the age of Aquarius, because the 2,000 years has been transitioning after about the year 1500 in the Georgian calendar. Continuing to read. Purgatory of fire is associated with Aries. Purgatory of snow is associated with Scorpio. The word purgatory is really a nice way of saying hell. In Hebrew, it's Gehinnom, the valley of Gehinnom. And most of you may have heard of, but really did not understand, there's a hell that's based on fire, and there's a hell that's based on ice. There are two facets of purgatory corresponding to these two signs. The purgatory of fire is associated with Aries and is used to purify anyone who transgresses any of the Torah's prohibitions. Such a person actively performed a transgression. The idiom for actively here is literally warmed himself up in order to purge this person of his fiery enthusiasm for whatever transgression he did. He must endure the purgatory of fire. Holy enthusiasm must burn his enthusiasm for evil out of him. That is what takes place in Gehinnom when we think of it in terms of a fiery Gehinnom. There is also a purgatory of snow, which is associated with Scorpio, corresponding to a person who lacks enthusiasm and therefore transgresses an active mitzvah out of laziness, preferring to sit and do nothing. The idiom for lacking enthusiasm is literally being cold. In order to purge this person of his indifference and his coldness to Hashem calling, he must endure the purgatory of snow, which freezes this coldness off of him. Our sages state that the wicked do not repent even at the entrance to Gehinnom, but rather steal the snow they find in the purgatory of snow in order to cool themselves off with it when they are placed in the purgatory of fire. Thus it is written, drought and heat snatch away snow waters, and Sheol, those who have sinned. This is a verse from Job that's describing what the Ari had said earlier in the same paragraph. It's just giving you the source for it. Sheol is a scriptural term for one of the levels of hell, of Gehinnom. In the present context, this verse is understood to read, to assuage the drought and heat of the purgatory of fire, those who have sinned snatch away snowy waters from the purgatory of snow. How is it possible to steal in a spiritual sense? It isn't, truly, not our understanding of stealing. Since when a person repents out of love of Hashem, his intentional sins are transformed into merits. These sinners try to repent once they reach the purgatory of snow. They hope that their repentance will spare them having to undergo the purgatory of fire. This is the theft that they commit there, for they don't realize that repentance is effective only in this world. They try to co-opt the coldness of the snow of purgatory, the attribute of indifference, to repent for having enthusiastically committed transgressions. They hope that by now being cold toward these transgressions and uninterested in them, their former transgressions will be accounted as merits. This is theft, since they are appropriating something that is not theirs to use for what they want to do. Having concluded his digression about the zodiac, the Arizal returns to how the child emerges from the womb. For all these reasons, the evil inclination is called ruddy. They called him Esau. I should explain that we're going to go through some verses that essentially come from the Parsha of Toldot. And as we go through these verses, you're going to be given alternative understandings of the verses. So I hope it's not confusing, and if it is, stop me and we can walk you through it. They called him Esau, and this refers to the evil inclination, for with regard to every mention of Esau and Jacob in this passage, Esau is allegorically the evil inclination, and Jacob is the good inclination. And this is why it is stated they called him Esau, for his father and mother realized that the newborn has an evil inclination. Only God is aware of the full entrance of the good inclination into the child's consciousness. They don't know when that happens exactly, except God. Both the exodus from Egypt and the birth of the twins, Jacob and Esau, serve as metaphors for birth. The first of the twins to be born was Esau, who allegorically refers to the evil inclination. The fact that Esau was born first reflects the fact that the evil inclination is the first fully developed consciousness to emerge with the birth of the child. It is essential that the parents realize this in order for them to approach the child's moral education properly. The Arizal continues explaining the verse just quoted. Afterwards, this always means after a long time. In this case, after 13 years and a day. There are two words in Hebrew that translate as afterwards, achar and acharei. There is a difference of opinion in the Midrash over which of these means immediately afterwards and which means a long time afterwards. The Arizal here adopts the opinion of Rabbi Yudan against that of Rabbi Huna. Now, when it comes to the death of the two sons of Aaron, It's the verse of the parasha is called Acharei Mot. So is this saying that after the death, after a long time, or is it saying immediately after the death? And that's where this discussion is. And we would need to be more familiar with the afterwards in this discussion of Jacob and Esau to know if it's talking about Achar, which would mean after a long time, or acharei, meaning immediately. His brother came out, and this refers to the inclination to do good, which is fully manifest in the child when he or she reaches maturity at the age of 13, or 12 for a girl, respectively. It is not apparent to everyone when the good inclination enters the child's consciousness. Only Hashem is aware of this. Scripture therefore continues, and he named him Jacob, meaning that he, the one who knows, called him Jacob. In contrast to Esau, who was named by both parents, they called him Esau. Jacob was named only by his father Isaac, but the Torah refers to Isaac not by name, but just using the pronoun he. So it may be interpreted allegorically to refer to Hashem. This reflects the fact that only Hashem is aware of the full entrance of the good inclination into the child's consciousness. Indeed, we see no apparent difference in the child's way of thinking from the day before his bar mitzvah and the day after. And in fact, this is not a negative reflection on Isaac, but the binding of Isaac takes place when Isaac is 37 years old, and that would have required that the good inclination had been fully manifested in the body of Isaac. And that didn't happen until the age of 37. Perhaps, that's my opinion. As the boys grew, this means that after they grew, they became two, and until this point, they had been one. And I am adding, this also applies to your spiritual growth. As you grow spiritually, a unity between the nefesh and the ruach level of your souls develops. And Esau, that is the evil inclination, was a man of the field, loving the affairs of this world. But Jacob was a sincere man sitting in the tents, studying the Torah. Jacob was cooking some porridge. The porridge here refers to the thoughts he always entertained regarding how he could serve Hashem. The word for porridge in Hebrew, nazid, means thinking, as in the verse which they planned, in Hebrew, zadu, against them. Understood according to the Aramaic translation. The Hebrew Bible was translated into Aramaic around the time of the first temple being built. The people were speaking Aramaic, and the Bible was translated. And during biblical times, when the Torah was read, it was read in the Hebrew, but the people didn't speak Hebrew. They spoke Aramaic, and so there was a translator who would stand to the side of the Torah, and as the Hebrew was being read, they would take a break, and the translator would translate what the Hebrew was, what the Hebrew had said, into Aramaic. When this happened, a lot of the translations, it was done as entertainment, as satire. It was political satire, but just general entertainment. So that the people would come to hear the Torah. And today, we've lost that. So you have the Torah being read in the Hebrew for energy purposes. And unless you're in a Kabbalistic minyan, where the translators will translate as the reading goes forward. It does take a little bit longer, but it is really an intense energy lift. Jacob was cooking some porridge. I already read this, I'm sorry, against them. They were sentenced to the same affliction that they intended to perpetrate on them. This therefore refers to someone who is always thinking up ways to afflict himself in order to earn the life of the world that is coming. Now, in today's generation, there are not a lot of people who are constantly thinking of ways that they can serve Hashem, because it's all structured into the written halakha. And there are not many people who are thinking ways to they can afflict themselves so that they'll make it into the world that is coming. But in earlier generations, this was quite common. And you see it in other cultures. As we hear stories of people who are whipping themselves in the Christian, and people who are going on starvation diets in the Oriental religions. Before the advent of the Hasidic movement, the Kabbalistic conception of righteousness involved afflicting the body in various ways in order to weaken its stranglehold over the person's consciousness. As is well known, the Baal Shem Tov decreed that from this time on, 300 years ago, this method of serving God was largely outdated, and that from then on, righteousness entails educating the body and focusing it on doing good rather than afflicting it. One way or another, the evil inclination is subdued, since it sees that the person is focused on the world that is coming, rather than this world. This is the meaning of, and Esau, the evil inclination, came in from the field, the delights of this world, and was tired of all the thoughts of the good inclination. And Esau, the evil inclination, said to Jacob, the good inclination, please stop me, for you have been afflicting me for days with your good thoughts and fasts. So now stop my mouth with all I was deprived of all these days, for I am tired. Jacob replied, sell me today your birthright. For on the first day of the good inclination enters the individual's body, when he is 13 years and one day old, it takes charge by force, and the evil inclination is subdued before it. Therefore, on the eve of the 14th, we search for chametz, leavened bread by the light of a candle. And this quote from the Mishnah refers to the search for chametz conducted on the eve of the 14th of Nisan. Here it is interpreted allegorically to refer to the day before a day's 14th year begins, the day before his 13th birthday when he becomes bar mitzvah. Much of the rest of this is a duplicate of what we read from the first section, the bar mitzvah and chametz. I'm just going to skip through it to see if there's something that needs to be read as we are over time. No, there is no need to read these because we've read it before. Although, if you feel free to read it and reinforce the teachings. We will, this section, the writings of the Ari, will be continued in the future. It could be next week when we are dealing with the seventh and eighth day of Passover, or it could be next year. But eventually we will have all of the writings of the Ari translated into English, and we'll be able to see all of this. That's the end of our class. Tomorrow morning we will have a Nisan ritual for a month of Shvat. And a deep Zohar class at 4:30 and a Tikkuni Zohar class at 7. Does anyone have any questions? Shalom Gadol, shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom Gadol, shalom.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this class as much as I enjoyed the writing of it.
Yes.
The brief.
Yes, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Went right along with our answers and questions.
Shalom, you all.
Shalom.
Have a good